Green Bay Packers defensive lineman Dayton Jones has been suspended by the NFL for one game. We'll discuss the ramifications of Jones' suspension, but first, we take a look at the Canadian Football League by talking to Andrew Buchholz of Yahoo Sports Canada. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. Dayton Jones has been suspended by the NFL. We're going to get to that. Don't worry. I realize that's the Packers news of the day here. But we're going to kick off the show with some Canadian Football League talk. I kind of thought as we are in this dead period between the end of minicamp and the start of training camp, the one thing football related going on right now in July is the Canadian Football League. And what I did is I came up with some Packers connections to the CFL. Guys who've played for the Packers that are now playing up north, or coaches, perhaps. You'll see here. What I did is I reached out to a CFL expert, Andrew Buchholz of Yahoo Sports Canada, to interview him. This is a pre-recorded interview, and I think you'll kind of maybe be surprised by some of the names that I've conjured up here that'll kind of ring a bell in your memory. But anyway, here it is. Now on Railbird Central, we have joining us a guest, Andrew Buchholz of Yahoo Sports Canada. Mr. Buchholz, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Thanks a lot for having me.
No problem. As far as the NFL is concerned, it's that dead time of year between the end of minicamp and the start of training camp. And I thought it would be an appropriate time to discuss the Canadian Football League, whose season has already started, and kind of relate that to the Green Bay Packers, which this show is all about. So if I could ask you, Andrew, I was watching the Ottawa Red Blacks in their season opener the other day, and quarterback Henry Burris, who actually backed up Brett Favre for one season in Green Bay. I think it was way back in 2001. And it just caught me in awe how old Henry Burris is now. Is he still effective in the CFL at 40 years old?
Yeah, it really it depends on the year, really, Brian. Henry had just a phenomenal year a couple of years ago with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He was very good for them in 2012 and 2013, took him to the Grey Cup in 2013. He was then claimed by, wound up going to Ottawa as an expansion team last year. And his stats last year weren't really that great. But it's an open question whether that was about him or whether that was about the receivers and the offensive line problems they had as an expansion team. This year, they've substantially upgraded their offensive line. They've upgraded their receivers. So there's a lot less excuses for Burris now. We'll see if he can still get it done at 40 years old. The thing that's notable of him is he obviously had his NFL struggles. He had a few appearances, both with Green Bay and then later with the Chicago Bears, where he actually got more of a chance to start, but didn't do very well. He wasn't a great NFL quarterback. He's been a great CFL quarterback. He's had just an incredible career, and he's been very good for a lot of different teams up here. The question now is just how much he has left at this age.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when I was doing a little research to find out that he was the Grey Cup MVP at one point. But speaking of quarterbacks, another former Packers quarterback, Brian Brome, is on the roster of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Brom is notable. He was a high round draft choice, second round draft choice of the Packers. And I noticed he's a backup in Winnipeg. Does he have any chance of becoming a starter there?
It's not likely that he's going to become a starter, barring injury. Winnipeg has Drew Willey, the former Buffalo University at Buffalo quarterback, and he's done very well for them over the last couple of years. He's the clear starter there. Brian Brome, he's an interesting guy. In addition to his time with Green Bay, you mentioned he was a high NFL draft pick, and that's because he did so well at Louisville. But he hasn't really shone in the CFL so far. After his NFL stint, he went to the UFL. He came up to Hamilton and was a backup there in 2013, and he's been with Winnipeg for 2 years now. But to this point, he hasn't really shown he deserves to be more than a backup. It can be very difficult for quarterbacks to do that because there's only nine starting jobs in this league, and earning one can be very difficult. So I don't know if Brome ever is going to get there. He obviously does have a lot of potential, though, as we saw from both his college career and the emphasis that was placed on him in the NFL. I think really what's going to be the key to if he ever shines is how healthy the guys in front of him stay. If Drew Willey stays healthy, then Rome's just going to be a backup. But if he does go down, then maybe he'll get a chance to shine.
Interesting. Another former Packers player that caught my attention was Toronto Argonauts wide receiver Torrey Gurley, who's notable for having signed with something like eight NFL teams. He kind of bounced around a lot, and I don't think he ever really found his footing anywhere. I believe he may have played with the Cleveland Browns briefly, but it was only briefly. Does it appear as if Gurley has finally found a home in Toronto?
Gurley is looking good with the Argonauts so far. He had some impressive moments in this past week's game. And what you say about him bouncing around in the NFL, that's not necessarily something that counts against him in terms of CFL success. In fact, a lot of the best guys in this league have that sort of story, that they caught on with one NFL team for a little bit, got cut, wound up on somebody else's practice roster, and so on. The guys who, in fact, some of those guys are more successful in this league because that sometimes speaks more to their talent level and just that they didn't get the right opportunity in the NFL. Whereas some of the highly regarded top former picks and so on, by the time they wind up in the CFL, sometimes there are a few more questions about them, about why it didn't work out in the NFL when they actually got an opportunity. With a guy like Gurley, it seems like it's really more of a question of he just never found the right fit in the NFL, and he may be doing so in the CFL. Toronto's a good situation for him. They've got one of the best passing offenses in the league, and even with star quarterback Ricky Ray out, backup Trevor Harris has filled in very well. Head coach Scott Milavich runs a really impressive passing offense, one focused on really a high completion percentage, and it's a good place for receivers, especially considering that they had some big losses this offseason with guys like Spencer Watt leaving. So there's an opportunity there for Gurley, and so far it looks like he may take advantage of that.
Good to hear. Wish him all the best of luck. But yet another former Packers player, Tyrell Sutton, is a running back for the Montreal Alouettes. Does it appear as if he can become or has become the primary ball carrier in Montreal, or will he kind of be sharing carries with other running backs?
Yeah, Tyrell Sutton has really turned into the number one option in Montreal. He's a guy with a lot of potential. What we saw from his college career at Northwestern, he did some good things in the NFL. And he's really come on the last couple of years. He wasn't a big player for Montreal at the start of last season, but towards the end, they started using him more and more and going away from their established back, Brandon Whitaker. And then this offseason, they wound up even cutting Whitaker and making it clear that Sutton is their first choice as running back. He's done decently in that role so far. He's shown he's got a lot of potential. So the key for him at this point is really just staying healthy. If he stays healthy, he's going to get a lot of carries this year.
We're talking to Andrew Buchholz of Yahoo Sports Canada, who covers the CFL. Here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Speaking of the Alouettes, Andrew, what's happening with Michael Sam? There's, of course, just been so much attention around him, whether it's the NFL, the CFL, anything, being the first openly gay player on a roster in both these leagues. Are we actually going to see him in a game sometime soon?
Yeah, I mean, that's an open question. It sounds like Sam isn't going to play this week. And if you listen to comments coming from the Alouettes coaches, it sounds like they would rather have several weeks to develop him, to get him ready for the CFL game before throwing him right into action. That's obviously that's impacted by the time he missed during the preseason. He was there at the start of the preseason, there at the start of training camp, but he missed both preseason games and most of camp in order to return home and take care of a personal matter. Sam, a lot of people figured Sam wouldn't be coming back at all, but he has now, and the team's front office in particular seems very open to having him back. They love his talent. They love what he did in college, what he showed in the NFL preseason. I think there is a little resentment among some of the veteran players and some of the coaches, though, about why this rookie is getting so much attention and why he was able to miss so much of camp, where usually guys in his position are fighting for starting spots. So I don't think we're going to see Michael Sam this week. I think the front office would probably love to have him in there as soon as possible, but it sounds like the coaching staff may want to take it a little slower. So we'll see just how much of an impact he makes this year.
I'm interested in seeing if he ends up playing, and if he does, how good he ends up being. Another Packers connection here. Jeff Tedford was the coach of Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers in college at the University of California. And now he's, I believe, in his first season as coach of the British Columbia Lions. How's he doing in his first year?
Yeah, I mean, it's really too early to judge Jeff Tedford with BC because they haven't actually played a regular season game yet. They had a bye in the first week. But the signs from camp and from the preseason have been pretty good. The advantage with Jeff Tedford, as compared to some of the other Americans who have come up here, is that he has a background in the CFL. He played in the CFL as a quarterback, and he coached in the CFL as an assistant during the late 80s and the early 90s before he went to the NCAA. So he's at least familiar with the Canadian game. He's familiar with the differences in it, and he's a great offensive mind. Jeff Tedford actually owes a lot to Aaron Rodgers, as Aaron Rodgers was the guy who really broke the curse of Tedford quarterbacks going to the NFL. So
Yes.
many of the guys before him didn't have a lot of success. And whether that's on Tedford or on those specific quarterbacks is an open question. But Aaron Rodgers' success certainly helped prove that Jeff Tedford is a great offensive mind and a guy who's very good at working with a lot of quarterbacks. It's going to be interesting to see how his system translates to the CFL and how he works with BC. There's a lot of talent in BC, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But they've got some big questions too. They're going to have a largely new offense this year with Jeff Tedford and George Cortez as the offensive coordinator. There's health questions about their quarterback, Travis Lule. And it's really a question of how quickly they can adapt to these new systems and if they'll be able to pull it all together. But the early signs for Jeff Tedford are certainly promising.
I was looking forward to Aaron Rodgers' younger brother Jordan Rodgers being united with Tedford, seeing as the success that Aaron and Jeff had at Cal. Did it surprise you that Jordan Rodgers retired from football during the off season? I mean, I don't know how much of that was due to, him kind of seeing the writing on the wall, and maybe he just didn't have it, or maybe there was a good situation at quarterback there, or nowadays the big thing is these guys are seeing concussions and how that can impact them in the retiring. Did any of this surprise you?
Yeah, I think the Jordan Rodgers decision was a little bit surprising, and I think it was surprising to the team. Tedford and the team had a lot of belief in him and figured that he would be a useful guy for them to have. He wasn't going to be their starter this year. They had a much more experienced guy in Travis Lule, but he was an interesting developmental prospect, and he is somebody they got a bit of a look at last year when they brought him in on the practice roster, and somebody who might have played a bigger role this season. I don't think it was a case of seeing the writing on the wall. I think Jordan Rodgers would have had a real opportunity in BC to be a second or third quarterback if he performed well during training camp. What it sounds like, though, and this isn't all that uncommon in the CFL, is it sounds like he found better opportunities closer to home outside of football. And that's the thing you have to keep in mind with the CFL, is because the average salary really isn't all that high. A lot of guys, a lot of rookies here are making $50,000 or so. A lot of guys are making under $100,000. So it's not a league where it makes obvious financial sense to just jump at it and to keep at it.
Yep.
A lot of the guys who really do commit to the CFL are doing so not just for the money, they're doing so because they really love football and they would really rather do that than explore other jobs closer to home. It sounds like with Rodgers, he got a better offer outside of football and he decided to follow that. And while I think BC was certainly disappointed and Jeff Tedford was disappointed in that, it's not all that uncommon in the CFL to see that.
One more connection here on Tedford's coaching staff is linebackers coach Johnny Holland, who is a member of the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame. How is the Lions defense look this season with Holland on staff?
Well, Johnny Holland has one of the best units in the CFL to coach, so that's certainly a point in his favor. He has Salmon L. Mimian, who's just an incredible CFL linebacker. He got a bit of a sniff in the NFL, but he became the first defensive player, the first full-time defensive player ever to win the CFL's Most Outstanding Player last year, league MVP. So Salmon L. Mimian, one of the greatest players in this league and definitely the best linebacker in it. He's also working with Adam Big Hill, who's just been a phenomenal addition to the BC defense over the last couple of years. And with those guys, the BC linebacking core is just an incredibly talented group. So I think it's going to be a little different for Holland, obviously. He doesn't have a lot of CFL experience, but he's got a lot of NFL playing and coaching experience. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see how he fits in with Jeff Tedford as head coach and with an experienced CFL guy and Mark Washington as a defensive coordinator. But Johnny Holland certainly has a great unit to work with, and that should help make the transition a little easier.
Good to hear. One more question for you here, Andrew, before we let you go. One thing that surprised me in the offseason was Hamilton Tiger Cats wide receiver Luke Tasker, son of NFL great Steve Tasker. He reportedly turned down a contract offer from the Green Bay Packers to re-sign with the Tiger Cats. I've never seen anything like that before, but I don't cover the league as closely as you. How rare is that for a player to turn down an opportunity in the NFL to stay with the CFL?
Yeah, it's certainly uncommon. We've seen this a couple of times over the years. I remember one big one was Khalif Mitchell in 2012, who turned down the Miami Dolphins to stay in the CFL, but it doesn't happen very much. In some, obviously, when it comes to a salary comparison, the NFL is going to offer way more than the CFL, and even the NFL minimums are way better than the CFL. Where this does make some sense, though, and where you do occasionally see this, is if the player has a feeling that they're not really going to have much of a chance at making a particular NFL team's roster. And you have to keep in mind, the NFL offseason rosters are so big now compared to the regular season ones that there are a ton of guys who get signed in the offseason and never even make it to main camp. And then there are more who never make it out of main camp. So really, it becomes an evaluation of, do I have a legitimate NFL chance? And the thing is, if guys figure they don't, if they're going to get cut during the NFL camp or a little bit into that season, that makes it a lot harder for them. They can go back to the CFL, but readjusting to the Canadian League mid-season has been very difficult for a lot of guys. And also, when you come in mid-season, you're usually not getting all that favorable of contract terms compared to what you get if you choose in the offseason, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to lock up myself long-term with a team. So I think it's a case of Luke Tasker finding a situation he really likes in Hamilton, one where he's going to be one of their star featured receivers, one where they're willing to give him significant money and significant security over the next few years. And I think it's mostly him deciding he likes that, he wants that security, and he'd rather have that than what might not turn out to be a real NFL chance.
Well, This has certainly been illuminating. I appreciate your time, Andrew, to talk to us about some CFL issues here. I watching the CFL here in like July, August time period when the NFL is yet to really start, and think this was a great time to address some of these little stories and little connections to the Green Bay Packers here during the summer. But thanks a lot. Are you going to be covering a game soon this week or soon?
Yeah, absolutely. We usually cover all of the CFL games on Yahoo's CFL blog, 55 Yard Line. So anyone can tune in and check out our work there.
Very good. We'll send people your way. Thanks again. Thanks a lot. And maybe we'll do this again sometime.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thanks to Andrew Buchholz for joining us on Railbird Central here at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV on a Friday morning, the day before Independence Day. If you're listening to the show, thanks for making us part of your holiday weekend, whether you're loading this into your car and as you travel for vacation this weekend or however you choose to listen, definitely appreciate it here. But finally, I know everybody's probably wondering a little bit about the Dayton Jones situation. So here we go.
Packers news of the day.
Dayton Jones was suspended for one game by the NFL on Thursday. The NFL kind of getting some of the news that puts the league in a bad light out of the way right before the holiday weekend, as so happens so often is the case with the NFL and not just them, but many, you know, industries. If there's bad news, you know, they break it on a Friday or before a holiday where it kind of gets put on the back burner. People forget about it. Dayton Jones was just one of four players in the NFL that was suspended on Thursday, including some very notable names: Antonio Gates, tight end for the Chargers, Sheldon Richardson, Rolando McClain, also suspended. So Dayton Jones is going to miss the season opener against the Chicago Bears week one. And because he's suspended, he will not be paid for that week. So Packers do not have to pay him. With a salary that's a little over $1 million this year, a base salary. He's going to get docked something like $69,000 that he will not get paid. Dayton Jones is eligible to take part in minicamp and the preseason. And assuming he hits no more roadblocks along the way, he'll be eligible to return in time for the week two game against the Seattle Seahawks. So you can kind of read into that a little bit and be like, well, at least the Packers have an easy opponent week one and a harder opponent week two, and Jones will be back in time for that. I suppose you can read into it that way. But there is quite a bit here that it really has gone unreported. We really don't know what's going on behind the scenes here with Dayton Jones, because the NFL does not come out and say why players are suspended. A lot of times the media will go to a player and ask him why he's been suspended, and they will be forthcoming and open up. And at some point here, Dayton Jones will be asked by the media what happened. From what I've seen, I've not seen him take to Twitter or you know, him make any public statements or anything like that. So still kind of waiting to hear from Dayton Jones. I don't know if we're going to have to wait all the way till training camp or what. We'll find out here. But, the simple fact that Dayton Jones was suspended for violating the league's substance abuse policy. This comes with the simple fact that he must already be in stage two of the substance abuse program. Because if you're in stage one, if it's the first time you've done something, it comes with no suspension. You might be fined, but that's like as stiff as the penalties get in stage one. And now, we also, like I said before, we don't know what he did to be suspended. There's several reasons you can be entered into the program, and they don't necessarily mean he used a performance-enhancing drug or a recreational drug. He could have missed a drug test. A drug test could have been diluted. He could have taken a prescription drug without a prescription. He could have been arrested or received a citation for possessing a drug and not necessarily have failed a test. I mean, all of these things could have happened without him. I think the biggest stigma is attached to taking a performance-enhancing drug or a recreational drug. And we just don't know whether he's done those things or not. Which also leads into the question here, why was Dayton Jones suspended for one game and not four games like the other players whose suspensions were announced on Thursday? And I don't really have an answer for you except for this. I found this as part of the NFL substance abuse policy, and it says, quote, a player who tests positive a first time due to the abuse of a prescription or over-the-counter drug will be eligible for a reduction. So I don't know if that's the case, but it seems possible that it could be. We remember just a few years ago that fellow Packer, Mike Neal, he was suspended for taking some sort of prescription drug without a prescription. I know he had since, it was one of those, I forget the exact drug, but one of those to deal with ADHD, and he had since got a prescription for it. Could be the same case here with Dayton Jones. Don't really know. I've seen reports of other players who have been suspended for one game because they've been arrested for possession of marijuana or synthetic marijuana, such as Ahmad Bradshaw and Marcel Darius. So they didn't necessarily, fail a drug test, just caught with possession of it. So could be the case with Dayton Jones here. Like I said, there's so much we don't know right now by all means, reach out to Dayton Jones on Twitter and ask him to clarify these things. I think it's really unfair to the fan base a little bit to be left in the lurch so much to not know what's going on here. That's my opinion at least. This is not a good way to start Jones' third season in the NFL, especially for a guy that's been underwhelming in his first 2 years. Dayton Jones has maybe flashed now and again, but he's done very, very little in his 2 years in the NFL. And that kind of comes with the caveat that he's been dealing with a sprained ankle for, pretty much the past two seasons. It's happened early in the year in training camp. It's kind of impacted his performance. That being said, being suspended for one game will not be Dayton Jones' death knell. I don't expect the Packers to cut him unless there's more to the story here than meets the eye that we don't know about. He will, however, be under the microscope from then on out. After his suspension, there's going to be some heavier pressure put on Dayton Jones from the standpoint that it's going to be time for him to really put up or shut up. I mean, not that Dayton Jones runs his mouth or anything, but, time's running out for him to live up to expectations. He's just done so very little. He's had a few sacks here and there, but just not the impact you hope out of a first round draft pick. So, there's going to be added pressure on Dayton Jones to really, improve this season once the suspension is over. Another interesting thing, here we were when all of a sudden the NFL yesterday is handing out all these suspensions and you're, I kind of wondered, I know I'm like, oh, is LaTroy Guyon next? And if LaTroy Guyon is suspended, the Packers could be pretty thin on the defensive line for week one of the season. You're almost in a little bit of a trouble spot. Now, I suppose the good news is, assuming everybody else stays healthy, that's going to be a key, that the defensive line stays healthy throughout training camp. Because if they suffer another injury on top of two suspensions, they're going to be in some trouble. But assuming they're healthy, the Packers can get away with four defensive linemen for 1 week. And I don't know who those four are. I mean, definitely Mike Daniels. Probably B.J. Raji. The Packers can definitely use a big season from B.J. Raji. You've got Josh Boyd. You've got Mike Pinnell. Kyrie Thornton will be fighting for a job. Christian Ringo, the rookie. These guys will be fighting for jobs. We don't know if they're going to, you know, make the roster or not. So that they can probably get away with, you know, for 1 week having four defensive linemen. But it'll definitely be a little bit easier on the nerves, if nothing else, if, you know, once these guys come back from suspension and you don't, you know, you're not worried about them missing more time or anything like that. But I honestly don't know if LaTroy Guyon is going to be suspended because... again, there's so much here we don't know. If LaTroy Guyon was never entered into the substance abuse program prior to his arrest, through his arrest, if he was entered into stage one, he can't be suspended for violating the substance abuse policy. There's no suspensions in stage one. So we don't know if he was previously in the substance abuse program or not. The NFL doesn't disclose that information. He's still subject to the NFL's conduct policy and could be suspended. But now keep in mind that charges were dropped, you know, from his arrest. He was not charged with anything. Now, can you be suspended for something you weren't charged with? That might be new territory. I don't know, you know, every single, you know, piece of every suspension that's been handed down by the NFL on all 32 teams. And we're kind of entering new territory here with Roger Goodell and the conduct policy that was kind of amended this past season. And of course, there's, you know, several other high profile cases pending as well, like Tom Brady and, you know, Ray Rice kind of changed the perception of things and how the NFL deals with, you know, violations of the conduct policy. We're entering new territory here, folks, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if LaTroy Guyon can be suspended or how he's going to be suspended, how they're going to word it, what code he violated. It'll be interesting, and I don't know how long we're going to wait. Obviously, we're probably not going to hear anything the rest of this weekend, I don't think. I just think, you know, everybody's taking off for the holiday here, and even the NFL, the employees are going to be taking some time off, and we may not find out for another week or so if Guyon's going to be suspended or not, but we await that information regardless. But on to the next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, today, tomorrow, this weekend, I come back to the Canadian Football League because there's not much else going on in the NFL, or like I said, that we know already. If LaTroy Guyon is suspended out of the blue, well, it's out of the blue. I can't predict it, but... The one thing Packers related, and I actually wrote this in a post at 24/7 Sports in our daily Packers calendar post. In CFL action tonight, we have a former Packers Super Bowl champion, defensive back Josh Bell. Does that name ring a bell? Josh Bell is notable for being the player that was signed after the Packers released veteran cornerback Al Harris in 2009. You kind of remember how You know, Al Harris had spent all year on injured reserve, or was he on the one of those lists, the PUP list? And you kind of wondered when he come back, were they going to activate him or not? They ended up releasing him, parting ways with a longtime veteran. And Josh Bell was the guy who took his spot on the roster and was actually, you know, with the Packers through 2009. And then again in 2010, Bell was injured during training camp and placed on injured reserve. So he was actually on the roster of the Green Bay Packers their Super Bowl season. So here is a former Packers Super Bowl champ in action tonight. Thursday night, the Calgary Stampeders visit the Montreal Alouettes. This game is actually televised on ESPN2 tonight, as we record this show, Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. That would be 6:30 p.m. Central time. If you're not busy Thursday night and you want to check out a former Green Bay Packer, there you go. There's other, you know, CFL games, in action throughout the weekend. I know on Saturday, the BC Lions and Coach Jed Tedford, they'll be in action. And then on Sunday, the Toronto Argonauts are in action and former Packers wide receiver Torrey Gurley, you can see, in many of these games, if they're not on ESPN2, you can watch them on ESPN3 streamed online. So there's your Packers connection, and hopefully we'll have some stronger Packers news in the weeks ahead here as we get closer to training camp. But that's all we got for now, as we approach the Independence Day holiday this weekend. So like I said, thank you everybody so much for joining me on the show here, and appreciate you joining me. What I'll do is... I'm taking off for the weekend. I'm so excited to go this weekend to see the Grateful Dead and their Fare Thee Well concerts. Whether you are a fan of the Grateful Dead or not, I think most people have to recognize this, that this was quite a, you know, influential rock band in American music history. And this is it for them. This is the last concerts they will ever play at Soldier Field, so the home of the Bears. I'll be there in attendance on Saturday, the 4th of July. Really excited to do that. And because of that, I'll be my last song here of the day is a Grateful Dead tune, China Cat Sunflower. So have a good weekend, folks. Have a good holiday. We'll see you again on Monday. And I leave you today with a Grateful Dead tune, China Cat Sunflower. Have a good weekend. Go Pack, go. There you go.